What's up, everybody? Welcome to this very busy day in the world of film and television. I am the Outlaw John Rocha here with a brand new episode of the Hot Mic Live on the Outlaw Nation channel with the Ian Snyder himself, Jeff Snyder. How are you feeling?
I'm great, Johnny.
Yes, are you?
Good to be here. Good to be here.
We're going to talk about so many things that happened today. Sorry, I just want to make sure the green screen's on. We had so many things happen for you yesterday. You were in the room where it happened with the press conference that was had there. Two separate press conferences had by DC. One with, trades and another with the website runners, the website owners there talking about, or their representatives talking about what went on, what James Gunn was going to announce for DC. You were there, James Gunn, Peter Safran, everybody was there to announce these 10 projects. So we're going to hear from you about what that mood was like, what the vibe was, and all of that here on this show. We're also going to talk about Bad Boys 4 getting greenlit. We're going to talk a little Andrea Riseborough update, maybe some Alec Baldwin stuff. But this is an emergency hot mic episode. So it's brought to you for you all to enjoy and have some fun. So remember to send in your Streamlabs and your Super Chats to support all we got going on the Outlaw Nation, and especially the hot mic itself. Jeff, how are you feeling? How is your day been going? What's the reaction here amongst your colleagues for this big announcement today from James Gunn and DC and Warner Brothers?
Yeah, first of all, thank you to our sponsor, Above the Line. We do appreciate
it. Yes. Thank you, Above the Line.
A little bit of business at the top of things.
Sure, please.
Guys, I didn't like what I saw with the Ryan Gosling aggregation off last week's episode. I didn't like what I saw. We discussed that rumor, that Fantastic Four, and I believe it was Dr. Doom rumor, months ago, a while ago. And then I just bring it up out of the blue when we're talking about Sentry, and all of a sudden my Google alerts start popping off because I mentioned Ryan Gosling and Fantastic Four in the same sentence. Like, let's just take it easy. Well, I'll let you know, what is the deal with stuff. I think I'm pretty clear about that. That was a low blow. You snuck that, and I don't need that. Anyways.
Okay. All right.
I awoke on a Monday morning.
Yes.
Looking for a nice, quiet Monday. I was going to get some work done on a special project I've been working on.
Nice.
I got a text from somebody.
Yeah.
And the text said, do you have somebody covering this DC press conference? And I was like, what DC press conference? Like, I figured that we were going to get the announcement pretty soon or whatever, but I didn't know there was a whole press situation going on up at the Warner Brothers lot. So I made a call. I called someone who might know.
Okay.
And they filled me in and they were like, yeah, I think that, the trades are in the morning. And then, the bloggers, the more fan driven sites are in the afternoon.
Right.
So I think it was too late for me to attend the trade session.
Yes.
So I bugged this lovely woman, Candace at Warner Brothers, who's been my contact there for ages. She's in corporate communications. Candace is the best. She's a fellow Bostonian. And I had trouble getting hold of her naturally because she's doing her job. She's busy running the whole trade session.
Of course.
But I didn't know what time the blogger session was. So I was kind of panicking, right? I'm like, listen, if I don't get in to this blogger session and if I don't hear back from somebody by 1 o'clock, the bounty's going out, John. Okay? The bounty's going out. And that's what I was alluding to with some of the tweets that I did delete. I put out a clip of Ransom, which is, the whole thing about Ransom is do you know anyone who wouldn't turn you in for $2 million? Well, I don't have $2 million to offer people, but I probably would have offered up to $1,000 for this info.
And I give me back James Gunn. Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like I could have gotten it because everyone got out of that presentation. And even though, I don't think that there were any leaks, right, today?
No, no leaks, man. Really incredible.
I guarantee that every single person in that room called, their friends and family members were in this stuff and swore them to secrecy and whatever. And I'm just saying everyone has access to the CMS, if I work for a big website, let's say Deadline, and you put that in the system. Now, granted, this is a cardinal rule of journalism. Like, you don't do that. You don't get, you don't give up your own scoops or.
Right. Of course not.
Colleague scoops. But I'm just saying that information is there to be seen by plenty of people. Sure. I could have. I think I could have gotten it, but that's neither here nor there. So eventually, I emailed a whole bunch of other people from Warner Brothers. I was very polite.
Yeah.
And I want to stress that, because while I did muscle my way into this room,
yes,
you have to talk to the studio a certain way. And obviously, Warner Brothers is a studio that I've had a good relationship with. One of the few. you know, and even though it's easy to kind of get like lost on their radar,
sure,
you know, like because they're anyways,
yeah.
Candace went to bat for me. She got me in there, so I did attend the later session, and I'm glad that I did, because it gave me a certain confidence hearing Peter and James and looking these guys in the eye and seeing hunger, and they were saying all the right things. Like,
right.
So before we get into my impressions from in the room and all that stuff, like what was your big takeaway? You woke up this morning,
yeah,
and it was like Christmas morning for you. No,
yeah, kind of. Yeah. Because I mean, we've been waiting for this for a while. I'm really surprised that we got it so quickly. You know what I've said week to week on the show here, Jeff, on another show is like, what's the rush? It was such a colossal car wreck for so long. Why are you rushing to put a new model out on the floor? What? Why don't you wait? Go back to the drawing board, look at the specifics, look at the blueprints, see what worked, what didn't work, and construct a new vehicle that's going to be good for everybody. Well, apparently, James Gunn and Peter Safran had been on this case for months, because according to James Gunn, he has already written the Creature Commandos 7-episode series. He's halfway through writing the Superman movie. So clearly, there had been talks going on weeks before the announcement was made. So they had prepared for this and had essentially probably gone back into the factory and worked on things and figured out what worked. I was really surprised at 10 projects being announced, Jeff, considering the track record of WB announcing things and most of it not coming to fruition. I was really surprised. That being said, the stuff we did get, I liked a lot. I liked that they didn't commit and announce a new Batman and a new Superman, and here's the cast, and here's the director, and it's like all this extra stuff. They're like, here, James Gunn came out and Peter Safran and said, here's the deal. Here are the 5 TV shows we're looking at. Here are the 5 movies we're looking at. We're going to bring in a new Batman. Superman is coming out in 2025. Batman 2 is coming out in 2025. We've got Brave and Bold. We've got Amanda. We got Viola Davis. Should have been Oscar nominated Viola Davis. We have her coming in to reprise the role of Amanda Waller in a 7-episode series. And you've got things like The Authority and Creature Commandos and a Booster Gold series and a Supergirl film. So I think it spanned the spectrum of things that I'm very curious and interested to see where we're going to go. That being said, a Supergirl movie, it sounds like Sasha Calle is out. It sounds like these other casting situations.
I don't know that that is the case. Like, okay. I don't think I'd go making any declarative statements or anything like that at this point. I mean, it's true that she wasn't their choice necessarily. And it sounds like what they're doing with Supergirl, if there was one character that it sounds like this is like a radical departure, it actually sounded like it was Supergirl. So maybe that is just like, she's not going to be cast because this is a totally different, completely different version of the character, really. Right. I felt like they're trying not to get ahead of themselves on those kinds of proclamations, particularly obviously number one with regards to Ezra.
Yes.
You know, and they said very nice things about them. And
they also said, Zachary Levi, Gal Gadot, Jason Momoa, they're not necessarily out, which is interesting playing both sides of the fence type approach here, Jeff.
Well, I don't know that Gal Gadot is going to be Wonder Woman necessarily, like the main Wonder Woman necessarily, but why couldn't you have her, you know, in some sort of multiverse thing, or, you know, an older version of Gal Gadot and maybe an old age makeup? I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, like, I know that the events of Paradise Lost largely take place before Diana's birth.
Yes.
But like, could there be some sort of framing device or whatever? Yeah, you never know, right? Yeah. And they did go to great lengths to say that while they are focused on one universe, there is a multiverse. There is a movie with a multiverse that they are working on, right?
Yeah.
Or at least a project involving the multiverse. That's the thing. These 10 projects don't represent all of Chapter 1. They represent half of Chapter 1, right? This is the first part of the first chapter, to quote James Gunn.
Right.
And there were multiple projects that they intentionally left a mystery, mm-hmm. one that has a director, right? Because he was like, oh, you know, this director, it's a male, because I believe he said he.
Yeah.
But like, you know, likes to take their time developing, didn't want it out there early. So they're letting that person have their anonymity or whatever. And then I think that there was one other one that they didn't announce because the title would have given too much away.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So this first chapter, I think, could be as many as 12 projects, possibly more, depending on how many things they're keeping quiet. You know, the scheduling I thought was interesting. Like, what did you think about Superman is going to be before Batman 2?
I got no problem with that. I think that's great. Because you know what? They've made it very clear that these Batman movies, maybe the Shazam movie, the Joker movie, these are Elseworlds movies. Elseworlds. Maybe even the Aquaman movie, Elseworlds, which is, for those of us who've read comics, we know DC Elseworlds was a great string of comics over the years. It's been fun to explore, like Batman working with Houdini and stuff. It's really cool, interesting exploration. So if they're opening the door...
Right, it just means like Elseworld. It just means it's not part of the main universe.
Right, not part of the main universe. So I like that. I don't think we're going to see Ben Affleck as Bat. Maybe in the obviously in the Flash movie, but I don't think past that we'll see Ben Affleck as Batman. So to me, I'm like,
any impression about any of that. By the way, right. I didn't with Affleck and like, no, I don't think he's back. If he's back at all, he'll be directing something.
Yeah, exactly. But you look at the situation here. I'm cool with Superman coming first because again, you've got to put a tentpole in the ground. And I think the smart thing is to shove that thing into a summer release, I mean, a week right after July 4th. You're putting a tentpole in the ground and you're saying, we're back. And this is how we're back with the premier hero of the DC universe, regardless of what anybody else says. In my opinion, Superman is the foundation from which everything blossoms out from. And then you have the Batman situation, which is an Elseworld situation that has nothing to do with that Superman. Now, down the road, it's going to be very interesting to see how they make this all work out. Are they going to keep doing multiple installments of a series in Elseworlds territory, or are they going to decide that they got to like going to line these things up at some point? Because Jeff, they are picking and choosing. I mean, Amanda Waller's from the Snyderverse era is connected to a number of Snyderverse characters. How are they going to work out the continuity with all of this is really where I have a lot of questions
Amanda Waller is going to factor into the DCU outside of her own show, right? I didn't get the impression that she's going to be popping up like throughout those other things.
But let me ask you something about this. He said he wanted, and he said it in the video today, Jeff, he wants to get actors that are going to do the live action, the animated voiceover, yes, and the gaming voiceover
onto everything. Yeah,
that's a rarity in Hollywood. I mean, you can get that with one actor or a couple actors, but it's rare to have that. Like Hemsworth is one of the rare guys that does What If, does the live action, cool, the gaming.
Okay, that's the goal. But like, yeah, you know, if there's some movie star that they want to cast who they think is perfect, who will do everything except provide their voice to the video game, I'm pretty sure they'll find someone else to voice the fucking video game character. That's the thing. None of this stuff is written in stone. Like, they can walk any of it back at any time. I didn't get the impression that James Gunn was planning to do that. But, so what did you think of, like, the slate overall? Because while I believe that James Gunn has a track record of elevating B properties into A properties, there were still a lot of B properties, unless you consider things like Swamp Thing and Booster Gold to be A properties. Booster Gold could end up being the sleeper, you know, gem in this batch.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like you're announcing a new Wonder Woman or, you know, a new Aquaman or a new Flash. These were kind of like oddball characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they're still putting their feet firmly in the mythology of these characters. Like Brave and Bold, we're going to get a new Batman. Will it be the DCU mainline Batman? Okay, great. Damian Wayne is here. We're skipping all the other Robins to have Damian Wayne be their Robin. Okay, interesting. Damian Wayne has gone both good and evil in his journey in the comics, so that's an interesting thing you got. The Themyscira thing, you're setting that before the Wonder Woman movies, but it's still Themyscira, so it's Wonder Woman adjacent, right? I think and the Superman film coming out. So it does look from the outside, just the titles, it looks like, oh, these are just a bunch of random stuff. But he was, I think it was really smart the way they connected up with the main characters, but went to look at other characters that are in that universe of those main characters from the DC universe. So to me, I thought it was a little, and the Green Lantern, look, the Lantern series is going to be really interesting. That's a main character, Green Lantern, Hal
that
Jordan.
That sounds like it's so, the biggest, like most epic scale thing that they may be doing. Like they called that an event series, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it sounds like it's going to be true to, in the vein of True Detective, intergalactic sort of super cops, you know,
yes,
the precinct Earth, if you will. And they're investigating some sort of ancient horror.
Right.
And that's going to lead into the, you know.
But do you, let me ask you, Jeff, you're a big fan of True Detective. You read these like really hardcore serial killer type books that are pretty scary, some horror as well. Do you think this makes sense to introduce a True Detective style element? That's what he said, True Detective style, in the approach to this Lantern series.
It's like that kind of tone. Like, you know, it's still like a fucking DC Green Lantern show. Like, I don't think it's going to be like too...
The yellow god, is there...
Yeah, like philosophical or anything. I think he's just kind of getting it like, you know, two detectives, gritty, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
It's going to be more Law and Order and less True Detective, maybe. You might...
But, you know, I think it's going to have bigger stars than the guys that they had before, which
right.
all due respect to those guys who I think are, you know, I think Finn Wittrock is a good character actor, but
yeah,
you can't have a fucking show Finn Wittrock.
That's
crazy.
The Booster Gold thing is going to be interesting because, I mean, Zolo Madueña coming in to play Blue Beetle, in the comics, Ted Kord and Booster Gold, the original Blue Beetle and Booster Gold are like really good friends and have some fun adventures and ball busting hijinks with those two guys. They're kind of idiots, but they're fun idiots and they're intelligent idiots. If they go with Booster Gold, are they going to go with it? I mean, with Booster Gold, with the casting, are they going to go for someone who is the same, around the same age as Zolo Madueña, or are they going to go a little older to kind of have a big brother, little brother type approach to things?
I have no idea. When I've asked people just in the last 24 hours, people are like, oh, you know, probably be like Chris Pratt or Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling. I'm like, really? Like,
those are all too old.
Well, they all seem way too big for a Booster Gold show. But on the other hand, you look at Marvel going out and getting someone like Oscar Isaac for Moon Knight.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I guess DC could pull off something like that. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, they brought back Ewan McGregor for Kenobi under the Disney banner. So, I mean, if you've got enough money, I suppose anything is possible.
Aim high. I mean, that's the show that he said he's talking to someone. So then, you know, logically people think, oh, it's someone who he has a relationship already.
Mm.
So is it Pratt? Is it Nathan Fillion? You know?
Oh, Nathan Fillion could be a lot of fun. But he's a little long in the tooth. Like, where are we going with this? That's my question. Someone in our earlier show, the Geek Buddies earlier, mentioned the possibility of Glenn Powell. And I think Glenn Powell could be an interesting choice for sure.
For sure. That's a very interesting choice. Yeah. I mean, listen, I like that they didn't wait for casting stuff, okay? Because once you wait for casting, it's out of your control.
Yeah.
Because all the agents know and the managers know and the lawyers know.
It's going to leak. Yeah.
Right. I mean, there were a couple of projects that have writers attached and, you know, then there's actors who are coming back. But there were no major casting announcements, no major director announcements, really, which was, you know, maybe a little bit disappointing, but I think that was it was smart. And I do think it was smart of James Gunn to get ahead of everything, right? Rather than have it leak out in drips and drabs and all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, then there's the separation of the trades and the blogs, which is another thing. Now, I don't know if that's up to James Gunn or just Warner Brothers, you know, communications.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that these two groups have different agendas, right? You know, one is more commercial, consumer facing, right? Yeah. It's geared towards the fans. The other's geared, you know, they're writing for the industry and that kind of thing.
Right.
It was kind of fascinating because I think of myself as a trade reporter being in the other group, seeing the things that are, you know, important to them, which is, you know, I totally respect. I get it.
Yeah.
They've got clicks to sell. But like, you know, I think I was the only person to ask about the, you know, the Georgia stuff, basically, which is like a huge deal. Like, you know, I basically asked them, you know, are they planning to film in Georgia or any other states with anti-abortion laws on the books?
Oh, good call.
All your female, you know, crew members and whatnot, and cast members for that matter. And James said, you know, he hadn't really started thinking about it. you know, I don't know, like, obviously the first thing that's starting is the Creature Commando, so that's animated, right?
Yeah.
So so like, I don't know what the first thing that he's going to actually end up shooting is, whether it's Waller or Superman Legacy. It may very well be Superman Legacy, because that's going to need a long, long time in post.
Yeah.
But again, it'll be interesting to see where the DC universe sort of lays down its roots in the way that Marvel has made Atlanta its home base. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
president of Georgia, so he's sensitive to it. He realizes that, you know, you can't just paint Georgia with one brush. There's a lot of people there who live there who you know, want abortion laws and things like that. So it's a complicated thing. I thought he handled the question pretty well, because he probably was not prepped for it.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, yeah, because he was going in thinking he was going to be asked about the characters and the nerdy stuff rather than the harder edge stuff. Did you get the vibe? Now, were you in the room when he's answering the question about Momoa and Miller and the Zachary Levi situation, where he said, like, well, I'm not going to change my plans because one of my actors says something that I don't like, but we are going to pay. But if there's something, you know, morally reprehensible, then at that point we will look at it, make a decision. So do you think he walked the line a little bit too close to the line? Do you think he should have been more declarative in this kind of thing? Or do you think he was, you know, he works for a company now and he's got to toe the company line to a degree, so these films can make as much money as they can when they come out, and avoid the kind of lame duck status that some people.
Right, that's another thing I want to talk about. Again, so I actually didn't see the Zachary Levi tweet. It was an anti-vaxxer tweet.
Yeah. And yeah, he said, like, someone questioned Pfizer and he said, am I wrong? He goes, no, I don't think you are. And then he came back with citing some stuff about, and it was clearly anti-vax stuff. And then people started unearthing commentary from him from years ago about racism, about sexism, and then about...
I gotta tell you, I could give two shits what Zachary Levi thinks about absolutely anything. I just don't care at all. Okay, just play enough. A superhero. It is really the equivalent of, like, and I hate when people do this to athletes, but it's just like the whole shut up and dribble thing. I'm just like, shut up and fly around and kill space monsters, bro. Like, I don't need to know anything else. So I'm not, like, too upset at him. I don't know that James Gunn necessarily needed to make a statement about it. I think it's an individual choice.
Yeah.
You know, if his actor doesn't want to do this or believe in that, so be it, bro. But it doesn't make you any easier to hire going forward.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you any easier to want to bring back, you know, if there is even a possibility of that. I don't really get the impression that James Gunn gives a shit about Shazam. So.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Even though Peter Safran is the producer on that series. Yeah. I think Zachary's done as Shazam after this movie. And I think they're just being slowly rolling out, so he saves face and all of that in this situation. And look, Marvel is dealing with that with Letitia Wright, dealt with that with Evangeline Lilly, who's been very outspoken about her anti-vax stance on this. Look, as these universes flesh out and we get more and more characters, you're going to have people who have different philosophies, different thought patterns, different points of views. How you navigate them, I think, in the end, depends on the box office. If it doesn't affect the box office, I don't think they care, because you've got a right to have your opinion. The Ezra Miller situation is different, because that's attacking people and violence, but opinions. Yeah. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
But I still believe it's the same deal, where, like, if his movie makes a lot of money, which I expect that it will, it'll be interesting. If their movie makes a lot of money, then I expect that they very well could return. I don't know. I think that James Gunn and Peter handled that very... as best as they could. They were very diplomatic about that kind of
stuff.
Very
diplomatic. I agree. Yeah.
Go ahead. One thing I wanted to mention was, and I don't know if this was sort of, you know, this was just sort of like the sob story that he had written down on the paper in front of him and he recited for both groups, but he basically talked about how, you know, when he was 11, he didn't really get along with his peers and he was sent to a psychiatrist.
Right.
And the psychiatrist, you know, talked to James's father and he said, if you really want to help this kid, you know, try to love what he loves and get on his level. And you know, so, you know, they used to bond going to comics conventions and stuff like that. His dad really nurtured that hobby for James. And eventually James walked in one day on his father reading a Superman comic on his own. And as soon as I heard that story, and by the way, he said it was like one of his happiest memories, like, you know, don't tell his wife, that kind of thing. it was funny. Yeah. But it's like, you're telling me that this guy's not directing the fucking Superman movie? Like, so here's the deal with that. I talked about that with somebody else. I think it's really just, it is the lame duck thing that you mentioned with Guardians coming out. It is much like J.J. Abrams, I believe, had Star Trek Into Darkness coming out. And then it was announced that he was going to do Star Wars. And like, he like moved on. Like, you know, like he still had a movie to sell and everything, but like he wasn't all there. And and nobody really cared because they're just like, JJ, what are you doing with Star Wars? What are you doing with Star Wars? He's like, oh yeah, Star Wars this, Star Wars this. Oh no, yeah, don't forget to see Star Trek 2. And I fear that that's what they're worried about with Gunn and Superman and Guardians 3. Yeah. So I don't think you're actually going to get any official Superman director news until Guardians 3 comes out.
Oh, good call. And then
James Gunn can put it behind him and now say, I've turned the page and I'm directing Superman.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, a bit of a gentleman's agreement between Marvel and DC about this kind of situation.
Right, when you're sharing. Exactly. If you want James Gunn for the next 8 to 10 years, we'll give him to you. But like, you got to let him sell this. We have a fucking movie right here, you know, that we spent a lot of money on. So,
Denver, you can have Sean Payton, but I'm going to need some picks. Exactly. I hear what you're saying. Love Deggerborn says, last episode you hit something. You hinted at something about James Bond. What was it? Wow, Jeff, you had people on the hook for this one for a whole week. What was it that you were hinting about?
Do you want to move on from DC? Are we done with DC?
No. But just to answer the question, this is, I have to put the super chats up for people who submit this stuff.
I mean, okay.
You want to swing around back to it? Okay, let's.
Let's finish talking about DC and then we're done.
We'll swing back to that right now.
I want to take some questions about DC and real quick. Sure. At the very end, Candace is like, Frosty, last question and everything. And Frosty's like, okay, so, what is the embargo on this?
Right.
Which is a question we were all wondering, what time are we rocking and rolling here?
Sure.
And she says 9:05. Everyone's like, cool, 9:05, 9:05, 9:05. Cool, 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 cool. Jeff Snyder here knows exactly what 9:05 means, folks. Okay. So I said, is that the same time as the trades? And she's like, let's talk about this outside. And then Steve was like, had my back, to Steve's credit, and started being a little bit louder about it. And we had a private discussion, me and Steve and Warner Brothers. And again, it's just like, why? Like, you're the trades. You can put your story in everyone's inbox. You have all the marketing. I was like, why do you need this 5-minute head start, this jump? It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why communications teams like indulge it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all there to do the same job, but this group of people gets to write about it 5 minutes earlier. It just doesn't make sense. I don't even see like the real benefit of it.
Yeah.
Other than maybe this real like quick rush of traffic, but like,
yeah, you get the clicks.
That's for all the people who are online for those 5 minutes. Like, I just, it literally just seems designed to separate, it's just so high school. That's this town in a nutshell.
I was just going to say that no matter how much you age in this town, it is always a high school town. Who are the cool kids? Who's on the cool team? Writers want to go to Hollywood Reporter, want to go to Variety. Well, in order to validate that, we need to have preferential treatment because we're Variety, we're THR. If you don't give us preferential treatment, we're going to write some stuff that maybe is not so favorable about your movie. It's the old Head of Hopper shit from the 1930s and 40s, controlled by William Randolph Hearst. If she could sink a movie if she didn't give the right review. Pauline Kael had that kind of power back in the 60s and 70s. There was a very famous theater critic in New York that could sink a play if it
nobody gave it can do that anymore. Nobody has that power anymore, right? Because Rotten Tomatoes is democratized.
You say that, but I mean, if a trade is going to constantly write negative stuff about your movie, about your studios, going to take like little things and run with them to say there's trauma and tension, there's stuff behind the scenes, it can affect your overall status in people's minds. So it may not have the power to sink a movie, but they might have a power to affect the box office in a certain way. I'm not saying it's right, brother. I'm just saying this might be the kind of understanding that's going on here. Because I too think the trades have way too much damn power. It should be equal. If you've got information, get out there and put it out there. No disrespect to any of the writers who work in those trade places, any critics, whatever. You've earned your spot. Congratulations to you. But somehow getting preferential treatment from the studios creates a caste system. And I don't like that idea. If you've got information, you've got knowledge, you know, you did a solid for the studio by not leaking it. So many of these people could have leaked it, been like, fuck you. I don't, you're going to make me wait 5 minutes? Fuck you. Here it is. Here's all the story the night before. Screw the trades. And so that could have been a really negative situation in the end. And it's a thing you probably have to talk with the publicists about at the studios about why they make this kind of delineation, because it doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that they want the rest of the internet writing off like the trade writers' takes, because they know that those will be maybe a little bit more accurate. Maybe there'll be less speculation. Like, yeah. You know, obviously I couldn't help but write, obviously James Gunn is fucking directing Superman in my story, because I have these things called eyes and ears, you know, but, you know, the trades have to walk that line because it wasn't made official and whatever, right. You know, like, I don't know. I've been in enough of these rooms and looked at enough of these directors where it's like, you know, so, you know, super, I mean, not to mention, it's like if they're talking to all these directors, because James Gunn said that they're talking to, like, you know, I think three of the five movies he's talking to, you know, to directors or whatever. Like, if Superman Legacy has a release date, like, you don't assign movies release dates when you don't know who's directing them.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Exactly.
I should say usually.
Yeah, usually. Yeah. I know. It was weird to hear release date.
And that was one of the things that James, you know, and Peter talked about, was like, we are not trying to make release dates here. You know, we really want to respect writers. Now, obviously, you hear this all the time, and they never respect writers, but that's what I kind of like about James Gunn being a writer himself. Like, he's been on the other side of the table. I want to believe, and that is the thing that I think Warner Brothers has to get credit for, is like, I think that they do have the right guys here. I think it was smart to bring the press into the tent when you have two producers like that who can really illustrate their vision for you in a room.
Yeah.
Like, they impressed me. Peter Safran, because I know everybody knows fucking James Gunn, you know, but like, that was kind of my first real exposure to Peter Safran, and he was very smooth, and he did seem like a guy who could handle things while, you know, who could mind the store while James Gunn is off making Superman. Although James said, you know, put it in an interesting way. He said, is the, you know, it's all about what is the most beneficial for the DCU? Is it me going over to Superman, giving them 100% of my energy and effort? Or is it me staying at the store and giving each project 10 to 15% of me, you know, so that everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's got to figure that out, because, you know, I had a commentator earlier today say, how is James going to navigate this idea that he wants to create, he wants to go down there and write this stuff. Can he really keep his fingers off this stuff? Can he really be okay, not want to jump into writing this stuff, because he knows where he wants all of this to go. So the fact that he's a writer and a director and a producer and a creator, the instinct is to go and do it yourself. I mean, he's already written apparently all the episodes for Creature Commandos. He's halfway through Superman. I'm sure he's got an outline that he's worked out here for Waller with the creator of Doom Patrol and the writer from Watchmen. I'm sure they had extensive discussions about where they want this to go. So it's going to be interesting, because he's got to manage the whole thing. So is, like, if a writer isn't working out, is he going to kick a writer off the thing and dive in himself and write it over a weekend or something, to lock himself in a hotel room? Like, these are these questions that you have to wonder about. You know, a player coach, which is essentially what he is here, a player manager rather, is he going to be able to keep himself off the field when he should be keeping himself off the field, or will his ego take over and his desire to make it all work? And will that motivate him to put himself on the field and possibly wreck it? So
I think that's a fair concern, but at the same time, is it a concern? Like, if this guy does get a little handsy with stuff, at least he's a creative, at least he's a filmmaker. It's not some suit.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. Wouldn't almost every project seem to benefit from that Midas touch of his? Although I understand what you're saying, where, like, then everything could maybe feel like it's, you know, comes from the mind of James Gunn or from the pen of James Gunn, and you don't want that. You know, I read some quote today where he was talking about, you know, really wanting to make movies in different genres rather than saying you're like, this is the same movie, but it has, like, the it's wearing the costume of another genre over it, like a lot of the Marvel movies, frankly. I think that was kind of a shot at Marvel.
He took a few shots today that I thought was a little untoward, in my opinion. If you look at some of his quotes, you know, saying that the previous regime fucked over Henry Cavill. And I'm like, dude, you know, you don't know what all the moving pieces were. Why would you shit on the previous regime? That seemed like an odd shot to take on the Henry Cavill situation. And following up by saying, well, Henry was, we didn't kick Henry out. He just wasn't cast as Superman. That's a, what the fuck? That's me playing with semantics in that kind of a situation, in my opinion. So I thought there was a little bit of semantics going on here from him in
but
playing
both sides. But it's a reboot. I just don't understand. Like, I understand what he's saying there. It's not that, you know, you were fired. We're not making more Superman movies with that character. This is a different version of the character. And that is actually one thing that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And this is something that I bet doesn't come across in any of the coverage.
Okay.
Because I don't think as a writer, you'd write this word more than once.
Okay.
Using though, he kept using the word farm boy. I felt like
about for Clark
for Super
Clark Kent. Yeah.
And it's like, so Henry Cavill, he's not a farm boy.
No,
he looks like a posh, like British super guy, you know? Like, I don't know. Like, I it's going to be very interesting to see who they get as Superman. Like,
yeah,
I keep thinking of someone like an Alan Ritchson who plays Reacher.
No way. No way.
But like, he looks like, no, he's might be too big and he couldn't really play Clark Kent, but like, he is a farm boy.
Yeah.
He has that vibe. Jake Picking is who's a guy I've been saying for a long time now. He is a farm boy. Austin Stoll, who my columnist Jamie Williams thinks would make a good Superman, could do farm boy. So maybe it's a total unknown, but I want people to keep that word in mind because it's like someone threw out Nicholas Holt because Nicholas Holt was the runner-up to play Batman, right? To Robert Pattinson, right?
Right.
So like, well, what about Nick Holt? Nick Holt, it definitely is not farm boy. I don't think it could be Nick Holt.
I don't think it's going to be British. I think, yeah, and listen, I know Jeff hates when I do this, but when I look at David Zaslav and I look at the way he's doing things in other areas, I have a feeling that James Gunn and Peter Safran are going to find themselves a good old Midwestern white American boy to play this guy. And I'm telling you right now that the farm boy is not a coincidence. And I think they understand that they're seeing money on the red state side of things, and they want to be able to walk that line. They're going to get the geeks with the fact that it's Superman on the left, but to get the right people into this theater, they might be leaning towards an all-American, good-looking white boy who's not going to make any kind of grand political statements in his movie. He's just Superman for everybody.
What should they be looking at? Isn't that the point of making movies? Is business?
Yes and no. It all depends on what your angle is. You know, Richard Donner had a lot of social political messaging in his Lethal Weapon movies, and you couldn't find someone more conservative than Mel Gibson. So
you can do that with the story, right? Not
right, exactly. But I think they want a good Midwestern white American boy, and I think that's okay. That's Superman, and I'm okay with that. He's from Kansas. Yes, he flew to Krypton, blah blah blah. But he's always been played by someone who kind of radiates this kind of wholesomeness. Christopher Reeve, good-looking movie star, model looks, but he had this energy that was a wholesomeness. You couldn't help but love him and like him as Superman. So I think that's what they're looking for. I guess I should amend my statement, a wholesomeness.
What do you think? And so that's one thing that I don't think Jacob Elordi has. Like, what do you think of those rumors? Do you watch Euphoria? You don't strike me as a Euphoria type.
No, I've watched scenes. Jacob doesn't really strike me as the guy. I think it's going to be an unknown.
He's very good, but like, that's a dude you cast in like an American Psycho remake or something. Like,
yeah, he doesn't have that vibe.
He's a little too dark for Superman. I don't need to like be up there watching Superman thinking of him like doing the shit that he does on Euphoria. I don't think that works.
That being said, I think you'd love to have a guy like that with that chiseled chin of his and that look and that smirk on his face.
Definitely has the look.
Yeah. He could be an interesting cat to have in the universe. Austin Butler, that could, I mean, I mean, that is a possibility. Austin Butler, you may not like it, but I mean, that's wholesome American boy, and people loved him in Elvis.
Seems a little too well known.
You think he's too well known? All right.
I still don't know if he can really fill out. What do you think? You think so?
Personal trainer Jeff Snyder over here. I don't think he can fill out, guys.
body type. I mean, I guess I don't know if I would have guessed it with Taron Egerton, who's absolutely gigantic now. But
yeah.
And, you know, all these guys are on fucking steroids, anyways.
I think it's someone we haven't seen. That's like you said, like Tom Holland wasn't really anybody until he became Spider-Man. Like, people knew him from his independent films, but he wasn't known. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're looking for someone like that.
All right. Do we have any DC-related chats or anything?
We have a bunch of them. Here we go. Jughead says, greetings to you both, John and Jeff. My brothers, I think it is a foolish decision to reboot the DCU. It does not need a reboot. It just requires a couple of good quality DCEU films. Why would I invest my time and money in Aquaman 2 and Shazam 2 when and if these characters will not continue?
You're not paying for a little fucking thing that says to be continued at the end of the movie. You're paying for the fucking 2-hour movie that you're getting. So that's why you would invest your time and money to see if you want to see the story of Aquaman 2 or Shazam 2 and be entertained for those 2 or 3 hours. It's not about the promise of the next movie. There are no promises in life.
I agree with the Jughead. I don't agree with you not wanting to reboot the DCU, but I agree with being concerned about these things being lame duck films. I don't want to waste my money and go see a show. Like, a reboot got canceled. I was 2 episodes in. I'm not going to finish watching it. I'm not going to finish watching it. What's the
great
point?
John, so when you get the invite,
it's just how I'm built. It's just how I'm built, you know?
When you, okay, forget the money part of it, but you don't want to waste your time. So when the Aquaman 2 invites and the Shazam 2 invites and all these invites hit your inbox, I want you to not see these movies and not tape a trailer reaction and not tape a review, because you know what? Who cares? Who cares? Because these movies are continuing.
If they're offering me a free movie, it's not going to cost me any money. And I've got an evening.
It's time you'll never get back. That you're investing in movies that don't have continuations.
I like free movies. I got no problem. Josh Mabry says, when it comes to casting, when does the character sell the movie over the casting? For example, Superman/Batman sells the movie, not the actor. Yeah, this is a debate we had a few weeks ago, Jeff. Is Chris Evans a movie star or is Captain America the movie star? So this question yet again here, does the character sell the movie over casting with Superman/Batman? Because they announced the Superman movie, they announced Batman 2, they announced a new Batman coming in Brave and Bold, but they didn't announce any actors, so... Should people be excited or should they just be like hesitant just yet until they announce who's casting these characters?
I guess that just depends. I think it's more about the filmmakers, right? And what kind of movie they're making. Like, the Batman turned out as well as it did because it had Matt Reeves, who had just done some great Apes movies, right?
Right.
I do think that, you know, if you're looking beyond James Gunn and who's going to actually direct some of these movies, who do they trust, right? If, by all accounts, The Flash is as good as they say it is, you have to think Muschietti is going to be asked back to direct something, especially if there's not a Flash 2.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be shocked if they look to him to direct that Batman movie. It was the Bold and the Brave. The Brave,
yeah,
and, the
Brave and the Bold. Yeah.
I don't know the fucking order of these words. The Brave and the Bold. It wouldn't stun me if that turned out to be a Muschietti gig. But he could do anything, you know. He could end up doing Swamp Thing. That would be interesting. And does Safran lean on his James Wan, you know, friendship? Right.
I don't know. James Wan's not there anymore. So.
Right. Exactly. Because James Wan's now is like focused on.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Teaming up with Blumhouse.
I think you go get who directed the Alligator movie?
Alexander Aja.
I would go get him in a heartbeat for Swamp Thing. I'd have been on the phone with him already. He can deliver a smaller film that, if you plant the DC tag on it, could make a lot of money because it's a good, solid film. And I think he would be one I'd be looking at to try to do something like that with Swamp Thing. Could be really interesting because you want that horror element. And certainly James Gunn does like the horror element in his stuff. A lot of the stuff he announced today has horror elements to it, with Creature Commandos and the True Detective version of Lanterns. Swamp Thing. There are even Damian Wayne is, you know, he's pretty violent Robin. So what will we get? And the Authority themselves. This is a very interesting thing. The Authority, a team of heroes that will kill when they need to. So that's going to be very interesting when you have a Superman who is an all-American boy who stands for truth, justice, the American way again, versus a team that will take it. The justice into their own hands, essentially their version of the Boys, DC's version of the Boys. So could be really interesting to see how that plays out here in the DC universe.
Swamp Thing is body horror, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Even though I hated Infinity Pool, I do wonder if they, if like Brandon Cronenberg could be a fit for that. That like, no.
What about Cosmatos, the guy who did Mandy, the Cosmatos, the son?
Yeah, maybe. I do think that those are the next guys who are like going to take that leap to superhero movies, like, you know, the Robert Eggers and Ari Aster, you know, especially in the James Gunn universe where they can feel free to be a little bit more weird and darker.
Yeah. What about who directed Pearl and X?
Ty West?
No? Mm-hmm. Too far?
Well, listen, if they're going to take people like, you know, the way that Marvel took like Chloe Zhao from The Rider.
Right.
Then I think that you could easily do it with those guys as well. I mean, no disrespect to Chloe Zhao, who's an incredible filmmaker.
Yeah.
Clearly, that leap was a weird one.
Yes. I saw the last hour of it the other night, and I'm like, I don't know why people love this movie. I cannot explain.
You watched the last hour of Eternals the other night?
Because, you know what? Because enough people are like, I love this movie. Why don't people love this movie? And then you're like, you know what? Dude, give it an hour again. I'll watch
every movie out there is loved by some moron.
Yes, I saw people trying to tell me Batman and Robin is a good movie. You're all fucking insane. I am Two Fly Cam said, Austin Butler is not Superman. Will he do his fake accent the whole movie? Hey, his fake accent got him an Oscar nomination last time I checked there, I am Two Fly Cam. He says, and Roka, when has Superman ever been a non-Midwest American farm boy? Christopher Reeve Christopher Reeve, is not a Midwest American farm boy. Nothing about him radiates that. He's a city boy for sure. That's pretty detrimental to Clark Kent. What? I'm confused. Jeff, can you explain this comment to me?
When it comes to casting, when does the character sell the movie over the casting? I.e. Batman. Yeah.
What? Okay.
What comment? What are you talking about?
No, the one I just read. The one I just read.
I have it in front of me. I'm just reading the fucking text in front of me.
All right, let me read you the one he just read. And Roka, when has Superman ever been a non-Midwest American farm boy? Christopher Reeve is not a Midwest American. That's a city boy. Brandon Routh is a city boy. They may convey the aw shucks, but they radiate a city boy. You know, Cavill was a non-Midwest American farm boy in terms of the look. I'm not saying you set Superman in the fucking city. I'm saying you got to find an actor that radiates that kind of Midwest American farm boy. That's my point that I'm trying to say. All right, I think that's all the super chats and Streamlabs for now that have to do with DC.
We can talk about the Bond thing. We can go back to Bond. Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a break first because we're 48 minutes into this DC conversation. We need to take a break for our podcasts. We'll be right back right after this. All right, Jeff, this James Bond super chat that came through was the first super chat that came through. Do you want to answer this question? What is what did you tease last week real quick? You hinted at something about James. What was it?
This is the tease, and this is an unconfirmed rumor. If you want to aggregate it, make sure unconfirmed rumor is
unconfirmed.
In the story. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. It's the idea that this next movie could possibly be Michael G. Wilson's last movie.
Wow. The producer. Okay.
Yeah. So Michael G. Wilson is, how old is this gentleman here? He is 81 years old.
I was going to say 81. Yeah.
By the time that we realistically see another James Bond, he could be 85 years old, which I believe is the same age that Cubby Broccoli passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Barbara's father, right? Yes. So the idea is that Michael's going to, you know, stick around to recast James Bond, to get this new Bond off the ground. And then once it's out in theaters, he would step away and let his son, Greg, take over. And Greg would be the producer of these movies with Barbara Broccoli.
Okay.
And I think, you know, like, you know, again, I think you got to keep it in the family. I think if you're 85 years old, it's within your right to step back and retire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so this one did pass the smell test for me.
Okay.
But obviously, you know, confirming anything James Bond related, very difficult, particularly when it comes to, you know, someone's retirement plans. Like, you know, that stuff is always up in the air. So we'll see.
All right. Fair enough. We've got another story to talk about here. Jeff, let me take down this comment. This is happening. The video was released today. Will Smith went over to Martin Lawrence's house and said, you know, on camera, shot him. He looked really happy, very jovial, like all the old stuff has gone away, and had a wonderful back and forth with Martin Lawrence to announce that they've got a fourth Bad Boys movie coming out. Is this the beginning of the reparation of, rehabilitation of Will Smith? We're getting Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah, who directed most recent one, returning to direct from a script by Chris Bremner. So what are your thoughts on all this? Are we moving past the slap finally once and for all?
Yes. Oh. Did you watch Emancipation? You did, and you liked it.
I loved it. I thought, yeah, he got fucked over for a Best Actor nominee.
And there's a lot of people who didn't watch Emancipation, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't watch Emancipation because they didn't want to watch a black slavery movie. Probably. I don't know a single person who told me, oh, I'm not watching Emancipation. Will Smith's in that. I just don't think that that is a real reason that you don't put on a movie that you otherwise want to see.
Yeah.
So I don't think that Will Smith needs rehabilitation.
Okay.
I think his score took a hit for a few months.
Yeah.
I do think that this is a smart play in terms of Bad Boys 3 was the number one movie of the year. We can put the biggest status fucking asterisk on it if you want to, right? Because it was 2020.
Still number one. Yeah.
So I think that you do make a sequel to this. I think if you're Will Smith, this is the role that people really like seeing you in.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg to make the movies. It's not like it's a Men in Black movie where you have to pay Spielberg and a zillion other participants and stuff.
Yeah.
They can make it for a relatively modest fee. And, you know, these movies do very well, like globally and internationally. So I like the Bad Boys franchise. I do think it's just gotten progressively worse. I'll put it this way. This is a rule of life, folks.
How dare you?
Don't trust anyone who tells you that Bad Boys 2 is better than Bad Boys.
No, don't trust anyone.
That includes Josh McCougar.
Well, there's many reasons not to trust Josh McCougar. Maybe that's one of them. The third film made $426.5 million. That's incredible for what it made, because the previous two films, it made more than the previous two films combined. So clearly they got it right, because the first film was 141, the second film was 273. Gotcha, you son of a bitch. I'm excited for it. I liked that last one. I thought it was a lot of fun. So I didn't think they were getting progressively worse. I thought 3 was a bounce back from 2, kind of like John Wick 3 was a better film than John Wick 2. So in the end, I'm excited that they're coming back, all four of them. And this doesn't feel like Lethal Weapon, where they bring in Jet Li to try to, you know, have some kind of some kind of badassery because they're too old to do it. These guys had a lot of fun that last one. So this is going to be a smaller film because they're old. So you can tell that story, and as you said, it's lower budget, but it might yield a lot of profit.
Who is all four of them?
Huh? The two directors and Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. I'm saying that all.
Oh, it is the same directors as 3 then?
Yes. The same directors as 3. So I like that.
I understand that there was a question about a start date. Someone told me that it will start production on April 3rd.
Oh, okay. There we go. April 3rd. I love it. I love that idea. All right. Do you want to move on to some other stuff as well? Or do you want to swing back and talk some more DC?
We got a few more minutes because yeah. I do want to go get a new poster frame before the screening of Knock at the Cabin.
Oh, I've got a screening of Knock at the Cabin tonight as well at 7. Speaking of posters, did you see the new poster for Fast 10? Are we excited for this new poster, Jeff? What do you think of this?
I didn't see it. Was it a gigantic X with cars on it?
Here you go. This is what it is,
the
right?
End
here.
Of the road begins. And he's playing for the faith-based audiences. This one's for Jesus.
This one's for Jesus. I love it. I love it. I mean, dude. The man's ego has checks that he can cash. He can cash checks on his ego, putting himself front and center, making it all about him there. I guess family starts with somebody, and it's always Dom. But I like it. I like it. It's emotional. It's got the cross there.
How did I not get a job in marketing? I would have loved to have been that guy at the end of the table, and they're just like all out of ideas, and the guy just holds up his pen. He's like, what about the end of the road begins? And they're like, you've got it, Johnson. Promotion.
Put it on the table, Chief. All right, let's get into some controversy here. Andrea Riseborough's Oscar nomination, Jeff, to your joy, will not be rescinded after an investigation here from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, AMPAS. But the use of social media in a grassroots campaign supporting her did not sit well with them. So they will take a look at their campaign procedures. Christina Ricci's editorial notwithstanding, I mean, she shares the same agent with her, so a little biased maybe. In the end, there were some legitimate concerns about how this whole thing came about, but it will not be rescinded. You had predicted this last week in one of your tweets, saying there's no way they'll take it away from her, and they didn't. So what's your thoughts now as the process is over? She will be there at Oscar night.
This shit cannot be regulated. Okay, so they can throw a million rules and fucking regulations at it. At the end of the day, okay, and this is why it's all backwards anyways. You have Tom Cruise campaigning against Paul Mescal. That is the situation at the end of the day. Now, again, we're just using these guys as examples. Forgetting all the negative campaigning about other people. You have Tom Cruise with his zillions of followers over social media who can say, vote for me, vote for me, vote for me. And then you have Paul Mescal with almost no social media saying, vote for me, vote for me, vote for me. Now, at the end of the day, it didn't matter because Paul Mescal got nominated over Tom Cruise. So this idea that you can't like go on social media, like, it doesn't make sense to me.
But Tom Cruise did not go on social media and say, vote for me, vote for me. He didn't do that. So for you to throw that in here is just completely a straw man argument. He did not put out a tweet. Studio did, but he didn't. Go ahead. Sorry.
This is an example. Okay. So again, I just chose the two of them as a reversal of, well, Andrea Riseborough has been around for so long. She has this vast network of people and she got her friends to vote for her. She knows as many people as Viola Davis knows. Okay,
You have no idea how many people she knows and her connections. Stop it. You do not have any idea how many people she knows. Come on.
Viola Davis. We're like pretending like Viola Davis was like some little underdog. She has won an Oscar already.
Yes.
We're talking about a fucking Instagram account to Leslie, right? That had 20 more followers than I did at the time of the writing. I'm not Mr. Instagram, okay? They had literally 2,100 followers. So every single member of the actors branch followed to Leslie on Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know who's even seeing this stuff. Like, it's beyond me. And if the Academy wants to get into this shit, like, oh my God, everyone's nomination is going to get fucking rescinded.
That's a fair point.
It should be a fucking free-for-all at this point, because at least that would be entertaining.
But then at that point, then there is no validity to the awards. I mean, this is something that you tweeted out. You're like, I refuse to believe that this vested institution.
Because that's exactly it. Because I don't think any of it matters. You can throw as many parties as you want. You can wine and dine, and you can take selfies with Jim fucking Carrey. At the end of the day, they're going to do what they want. And that is what I truly believe.
You mean the voters or the Academy?
The innate fairness of the awards and that none of this stuff matters. So let them do it. That's what I believe.
What do you think? Do you mean the Academy or do you mean the voters are going to do what they want? The Academy or the voters?
Academy are the voters, right? The Academy is, there's not some master of puppets at the Academy. That guy, Bill Cramer, fucking does what everybody tells him. So... We're talking about the same people. It's the voters. The voters do what they want. If they want Andrea Riseborough to be nominated, then it doesn't matter how much money MGM spent or Sony spent on FYC ads for the trades.
Yeah.
And if the voters want to vote for their friends, then that's what they're going to do at the end of the day. No one can stop them from doing that, but you have to trust your voters to not do that and to vote on merit.
Yeah, you know, you're astounding to me. You're the one person who likes to destroy all the systems, all the institutions, and here you are still trying to prop up this one.
I still believe in, and that's worth believing in. None of the others matter. None of this shit.
You say all the other award shows don't matter except the Oscar.
Nothing matters besides the Oscar. Not a Grammy, not a fucking Emmy.
Wow. What?
That is the truth. That is what I've always believed. Oh, you won an Emmy? You know how many fucking people? I could go outside and throw a rock and hit someone who's won an Emmy. The Oscar is all that matters.
Okay.
And I believe in it.
All right. And I mean, I
couldn't do this job.
Full disclosure. What?
I couldn't do this job or give a shit if I didn't believe that it still mattered.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, I used to worship at the altar of the Oscars. But, you know, once you work in this business long enough and you see how people vote and you hear how people vote, and this was just another example of people like Kate Winslet and other Kate Blanchett getting involved and helping a member of their community and possibly influencing a large number of votes to move towards Andrew Riseborough to get, maybe not a large number, but enough to get her the nomination. So to me, that makes it suspicious.
It takes the person influencing and the influencee.
Exactly, which is my point.
If you're going to allow yourself to be influenced, then you're just a weak person.
That's fair. And I think that's why, as I said last week, these ballots should be public. So we should see who got influenced, who didn't get influenced, and we see who's voting for who.
How do you know if they've been influenced or if it's just genuine? John, the idea that you want to make ballots public, like individual ballots, is insane. It's one of the craziest things you've said on the show. Because then they will vote for their friends. Because then, you know, George Clooney will have to vote for Julia Roberts for Best Actress for Ticket to Paradise. Because if his ballot is publicized, then she'd be like, George, how could you not vote for me? I'm your best friend.
I'm confused how you think that we should trust the institution, but the people, if they found out about other people voting in a certain way, would be hurt by it. I'm confused how you can have one and the other.
Instinct, because Julia Roberts in her head thinks that she deserves the award, right? She doesn't realize that everyone else doesn't think that she's even in the conversation. I did a great job, so why wouldn't you vote for me, George?
I think creatives are a little more aware than you give them credit for, Jeff. I think we're aware of who's better than us and who's done better in certain things. Again,
these are examples. I just pulled out any. You're like, I'm just taking
examples here. I know. I'm just a big fan of transparency. Other than voting for the presidency or the voting for Senate, I think everything else you vote for should be right there on the table and everyone should see it. That is insane.
And that is exactly, that would have the reverse effect. It would not lead to a more truthful nominees. It would lead to the opposite of that.
Well, we're getting the opposite of that now.
No, we're not. We're just getting the real nominees.
You just have to believe this, but it's very possible that, you know, just like one side of the universe exists, the other side of the universe must also exist to balance.
Do you think they were done dirty?
Who?
You think that Danielle Deadwyler and Viola Davis done dirty?
Fuck yes. I don't even have a question in my mind that they were done dirty by these supposedly white liberal actresses who went out there because, most people's liberal nature extends only so far when it starts affecting them or their friends. When it's an abstract concept, 100% they're all for it. When it could affect a friend of theirs getting nominated, I don't think they're quite as...
You're a total 100%. Conspiracy theorist. Viola Davis has just as many friends in the business as Andrea Riseborough.
You have no idea. But that's a black woman versus a white woman. What the fuck is wrong with you? You do not have the same kind of cachet as a white woman. Come on.
A movie that made $100 million and a movie that made $30,000.
Come on.
A movie that spent $20 million on ads and a movie that spent nothing on ads. It's like, that's not the only inequality here. It's not race. It also has to do with financial stuff.
But you can't exclude it. That's ridiculous to exclude it. That's really, that's surprising from you. You cannot exclude it.
All your eggs into the race basket. When was the last time a white guy won Best Director, John? This is not a racist academy. You're fucking insane.
I'm not saying you want to go general. I'm not saying general. I'm saying in this situation.
In this instance, they say, look at Viola Davis. Look at Danielle Deadwyler. Look at how black they are.
I think they said, I don't give a fuck. I want to vote for my friend. I don't think it's as callous as you're painting it.
Then it's not about race.
Well, it could be because you didn't pay attention to it.
You're the one throwing everything at the fucking thing that sticks.
I'm not the only one. There are plenty of black critics and pundits, people of color critics and pundits, who are talking about it on Twitter, writing articles about it, breaking it down, and showcasing it. And you're not reading them, but there's plenty of people.
Robert Daniels' piece was bad.
Plenty of intelligent people breaking this down. Oh, you're crazy.
I think you're...
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but
you don't even know that Andrea Riseborough was the one who took the fucking spot, as if anybody had the slot. That's what Mark Harris said. No one has. You're not guaranteed these spots because fucking Clayton Davis says that you're a front runner for 3 months. That's fucking crazy talk.
Okay. Again, see, this is the dumb argument. I hate this dumb argument. I'm not saying she doesn't deserve the nomination. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there was... some shit. And by the way, I don't even blame Andrea Riseborough. She's an actress. If people are going to step forward and help her out, then I think you have every right to be like, thank you. That'd be great. Very nice of you. I would love to get nominated. Because I think Andrea Riseborough, I've seen her interview. She's a strong woman. So she believes in herself, believes in the work she creates. She's a damn good actress. I'm in no way am I saying she doesn't deserve to be nominated, nor am I saying that if I saw the movie, thought she was wonderful, I still wouldn't feel this way about Viola Davis. I do. And I think she should have been nominated. Even if I watched Two Leslie and Andre delivers a wonderful performance, which I've heard from some other people that I trust that it isn't that great of a performance, I won't come out of not wanting Viola Davis to be nominated. Okay. And I think that's the situation at the end of the day. I think she should have been nominated, period. Okay. I would kick Ana de Armas off and put Viola on for God's sake. So.
You're talking like just, I wish this, I want that. I like this. Why didn't that happen?
That's my choice. Jesus Christ. All right.
That's why they call it the hot mic, folks.
That's right. Jeff, real quick, Alec Baldwin has been officially charged. Just kind of wrap up this Russ situation. So it's no longer kind of in the air or in the ether. It's really happening. What's your reaction to this? And what do you anticipate? Do you think there'll be a deal? Do you think he goes to trial?
It hasn't changed from last time. Basically, okay. We said he was going to get charged, and now he's been charged. Is that the only difference?
Yes. Yes. Officially charged.
I don't think that he belongs in jail. I don't think that jail time will do him any good. It doesn't rehabilitate him. Okay. I'm pretty sure that he'll definitely be thinking twice next time he pulls the trigger of any gun that he's or prop that he's handed on the set. Yeah. I think that he needs to be charged to be held legally liable. I think that someone needs to be held legally responsible for this, but the idea that anyone's going to jail over this, I think it's just a tragic accident. Mm-hmm. And I think even her family would agree to that, which is why the husband's now an executive producer on the movie, which is supposedly moving forward, even though they can't find a place to shoot it.
Fair point. Thoughts on Sean Payton real quick, becoming the coach of the Broncos. Any thoughts real quick?
I mean, there's some nice pieces on that squad. There is some talent there, but I just, you know, I don't know, man, if I would have chosen the Russ Wilson team, man, he looks fucking washed.
Yeah, I don't know either. Real quick, got some Streamlabs that came through. Jeff, I know you got to go, so we'll go real quick. Lou Hugh fan said, Bad Boys at 60 years old, forever naughty, I guess. I wish Michael Bay would come back to direct. Well, the last one made more than the previous two combined. Why would you bring back Michael Bay? You got to run it again.
Yeah, these guys are, you know, they're the future. Exactly. Let them do their thing.
And I'm sure Michael's fine with letting it go and letting him do their thing. That's small potatoes to what Michael Bay wants.
He still gets a check.
Yeah, he still gets a check. His EP, exactly. Fanboy_Cantina says, Jeff, your favorite three movies at Sundance, I really enjoyed Going to Mars, Radical, and Shortcomings.
Okay, I heard good things about Radical. Shortcomings of that was okay. I would go Michael J. Fox documentary. That's a special documentary. I thought it was great because it is an easy mark. It seems like a bit of a layup. Like, how do you fuck this up? But he did it better than it even deserved, I think. Davis Guggenheim. Flora and Son from John Carney, who did Sing Street and Once. This is his new musical with Eve Hewson, the daughter of Bono, making a name for herself, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And then Justin Chan's Jamo Jaya. Starring the rapper Rich Brian. Justin Chan did Blue Bayou last year or 2 years ago with Alicia Vikander. He is a interesting filmmaker. One to watch.
Who was the Asian actor in Blue Bayou? I forget. Damn it. With
Justin
Alicia.
No, wasn't it Justin Chan too? No, wait. No.
I'm gonna look it up real quick. Because I know
Isn't it Justin Chan?
It is Justin Chan. Yes, it was Justin Chan. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I thought that was a damn good movie, dude. Josh Mabry says, so has the Oscars become, or has it always been 75% who you know and 25% what you know, aka the performance? I would say yes, Jeff.
I think it's mostly married. I'm sure does the occasional person sneak in because they have more friends or whatever in the Academy? Yeah, potentially, but I just think that no one, and it's not that everyone saw Too Leslie, but I just don't think people watch Till. No one wants to watch that.
But Woman King made a shit ton of money, man.
Woman King did make a lot of money, and I was surprised that it wasn't nominated for more things, but I also didn't think it was, I didn't think she was undeniable. I thought Danielle Deadwyler was better than Viola Davis.
How about this? Oh, no, never mind. I mean, here's how you fix it. You got to prove these people watch the movies. They've got to log on and they've got to watch the movies.
We've talked about that too. They can't, John. It's impossible. These people have to work. They have to make choices at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right. And that means sometimes they're like, oh, I'm going to watch Empire of Light, which maybe that turns out to be a bust from their perspective. But like, oh, it's Sam Mendes, it's Olivia Colman. And now the deadline is coming and I only have time to watch one, and it's going to be Empire of Light over Till.
Yeah.
And that's how it happens.
I'm just saying, you can't vote for a movie you haven't watched. That's the thing at the end of the day. And so I would like them to log in, clock in, watch it. And because we get the screeners, Jeff. And we have to log in. We have to do a whole nine just to be able to watch them. I think that has to happen, for God's sakes, so that people who are voting for films they don't actually see.
You have to understand that goes both ways. Mm-hmm. That goes both ways. So there may be someone, let's just say it's a Black Academy member who really just, you know, I want to support Viola Davis and Danielle Deadwyler this year. Didn't have time to watch their movies, though.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working, you know, fortunately, I've just been working nonstop. Haven't had the time. Okay. So now you can't vote for them.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, where it's like, you should have to prove that you've seen the movies to vote for them.
Right. But I agree with you. I also think, how can I say this? I also think voting for an all black slate is incorrect. If you haven't seen the movies, if you've legitimately seen the movies and you want to vote all black, knock yourself out. But I think, you know, to me, I don't actually advocate that you just vote across the board, no matter what, for a black actor or Latino actors or Asian actors, if you haven't seen their movies.
That's a real concern within the Academy is block voting. I'm not saying black, but I'm saying block voting. And that goes for a whole bunch of things. Block voting could be, I'm black, so I want to vote for all black nominees. It could be I work for Warner Brothers, and so I'm just voting for Elvis in every category this year. Yeah. You know, and that's how it used to happen too. It's studios. The other thing is, if you really look at who was driving the Andrea Riseborough campaign, really look at who the clients are. Did you see? It's CAA.
Right.
That's what Richard Rushfield sort of pointed out in his Ankler newsletter today, and he's absolutely right. If you are seeing patterns or trends or just like wondering what is going on with the situation, you know, they say follow the money. Yeah. In Hollywood, it's follow the agency.
Yeah. Okay. Very good point. Yes.
So, maybe in the Academy, in the actors branch, let's say there's 1,800 people. Let's say CAA reps 900 of them and WME reps 400 and UTA reps 200. Like, could CAA just say, all right, we're voting for CAA clients down the line, everybody.
Right.
Don't forget to, you know, like, is that illegal, or is that, well, that's the advantage of being at CAA, baby, you know, connections. Like, I don't know the answer to that. And that's why I feel like it should just be a fucking free for all, because it's the only way for it to be fair. So if you want to do what Andrea Riseborough did, go nuts. Just know Viola Davis and Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise can do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it becomes a fucking high school president contest. And those are always
popularity. Just like Scott Barkley did, Tom Cruise is at CAA as well.
Yeah.
You know? Again, he didn't want an
Oscar. Tom Cruise give a fuck about an Oscar, man. He's past that now. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get out of here, right? Because we got to go.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all so much for watching. 300 of you watching right now as we're wrapping up. Please hit a like on this video and subscribe to the channel, please. You love the hot mic. You love everything we got going on here on the Outlaw Nation. Subscribe to the channel and give us some love, for God's sakes. And hit that bell button so you see we're dropping all the content we do here. Jeff, where can people find you? And have you got an article up? Promote all your stuff, my man.
AboveTheLine.com for all the DC breakdown, all that stuff. Real quick, Fredtastic, 314, $10 chat. The Baseball Hall of Fame is selected mostly by the writers, but I trust the players because they play at that level, which makes both arguments hard to puck. That's true. Listen, I'd much rather have it in the hands of the Academy and make it a popularity contest then give it to the fucking LA film critics and it would give it TAR Best Picture, okay? So please, for the love of God, don't let writers anywhere near this.
I would trust the critics to be more honest than the Academy.
Oh, they're the worst. Dude, you would be giving fucking Marvel movies the Best Picture if it were up to critics. Holy shit.
No, I would not. Most anyway, all right, let's get out of here. Thank you all so much. You can follow me at The Rogue Says on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, The Outlaw Nation on Twitch. Jeff, are we doing another show in a couple of days, or is this the show for the week?
I think this is probably the show for the week.
All right, this is the show for the week. So,
if anything, you know, it could be crazy news day tomorrow. We'll see.
That's true. That's true. Or Thursday, we shall see. So keep your ear out to see if we've got something else coming. But this has been a busy day already, for God's sakes, for me. So I'm going to relax. And Jeff and I are obviously going to go see Knock at the Cabin. So look for our reactions to it on Twitter. And we'll talk to you next time with another brand new episode here of the Hot Mic. Peace. Take care, y'all. We'll be right back.